Okay, well, let's tonight we're going to do something a little different. I want to go to Daniel chapter 6. We want to talk about Daniel and the lion's den, and we want to talk about some meanings. And these meanings are going to apply to us here in the future, even now. Welcome, Rescued by Jesus. All right, Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where his windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel is one of the exiles from Judah. He pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. I want you to remember that, until sundown, to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said, "Remember, O king, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all of the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue you a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves and he performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now this is pretty interesting all the way around. Already, if you understand about the pattern of God, you should have seen something here. Because there is a decree against man. And this decree is the law. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. It cannot be fixed just because God likes you. You cannot be rescued from its condemnation if you are convicted in that law. God can't just break his own law any more than Darius could break this decree. Now, you see that there were two other administrators besides Daniel, and that there were satraps, and it tells us that there was 120 of these satraps beneath these administrators for the whole of the kingdom of Medo-Persia. When they saw the king's will, and the king here, Darius, is being a picture of God. See, God will not break his own law. Not for you. Not for anybody. Not even for Jesus. The law must be fulfilled. Now, we know physically that no one, not even Daniel, was perfect. The only perfect man that ever lived without sin was Jesus. But here we see a figure of perfection in Daniel. They tried to find grounds for his charges, for charges against him. They tried to find grounds against him, but he was not corrupt. He was innocent. His conduct in government affairs and everything else was excellent. It says that they looked to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." And you know what? They couldn't find anything against Jesus either, could they? Right. Very good, Kevin. Kevin says they seized the opportunity afforded by the decree. Exactly. That's exactly what happened. The devil accuses us. You know, all these administrators and these satraps, they're all a picture of the power, prince and powers of the air. And they were manifested in those physical earthly rulers whose jealousy of Daniel was great, just like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, right, were with Jesus. Just like the rulers of this age were against Jesus. And they said, we'll never find anything. Look what they accused Jesus of. Then we'll never find anything unless it has something to do with his God. They accused Jesus of breaking the law. And they falsely accused him. Now, being thrown down into the lion's den, I want to read you this part. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring. Just like there was a stone set in front of Jesus' tomb to make sure he would not escape death. Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. Remember what it says about the devil. He's a roaring and ravening lion seeking whom he may devour. And those lions are a picture of the accusers. Do you know that's where all mankind has been? The devil and his crowd have accused us according to the law, so that we might be condemned to death. And they accused Daniel, didn't they? They could find no wrong in him, but it had to do something with his God. And they took an advantage, like it says, that's exactly what happened in the garden. The devil took advantage by the decree. You shall not partake of the tree, didn't he? And that's what it tells us in Romans chapter 7. That sin, taking an opportunity afforded by the commandment, sought to deceive me and put me to death. And so these accusers are trying to eat Daniel. You see the point? But you know what? Daniel was an innocent man. The law was paid. He was thrown into the lion's den. See, the law could only put you to death if you were innocent. You could be, I mean, if you were guilty, if you were thrown into the lion's den and not consumed, you're found innocent, right? The law was to throw you into the den, not to kill you, right? Can you see the comparison of what happened to Jesus? He rose on the third day. Death could not hold him because he was an innocent man. In other words, no accusation against him could stand. The devil could try to put his mouth on him and run him down and accuse him like a lion and this whole crowd, but they could not consume him. Everybody see the point? And just like the stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, there was a stone rolled in front of the tomb of Jesus. And Darius went. Now, notice what happened when Daniel comes out alive. The lion's mouth were closed. No accusation stood against Jesus. No accusation could stand against Daniel. The lion's mouths were shut. But all those who had accused him, they were thrown into the lion's den. Just like the powers and principalities will be thrown into the lake of fire. And look at what it says happened to them. At the king's command, God's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. And I'm telling you, everyone, these wives and children are a picture. They're a picture of the children of Satan. They're a picture of the wives of Satan, so to speak. All of these churches, all of these religious organizations. Can you see that? They, along with their husbands, are thrown into the lion's den. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Crackers, shut up. Sorry about that. And through this, God was glorified. Well, you know, there's another part of this.
Crackers.
There's another part of this. Because you are counted in Jesus. You have broken the law. But because Jesus paid the law, you're counted in him. And no accusation will stand against you. The lion's mouths are shut. Do you see that? You're counted righteous, not because of you, but because of Jesus. Just as Daniel went to the lion's den, and Jesus went to death. That's who you're counted in. No accusation can stand against you. And I want to take you over, and I want you to think about this as we read this. And this makes it very clear in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. When you were dead in your sins, verse 13, and that's all of us, and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations. You see a comparison between that written code of the law and its 613 regulations compared with the decree of the Medes and the Persians? Can you see that comparison? Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us. You know why? Because it was paid. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. It was paid. See, the penalty wasn't for the lions to eat him. The penalty was to be thrown in. The penalty for Jesus wasn't the lake of fire. It was to be thrown into death. But death could not hold him. Because death cannot hold an innocent man. No accusation can stand. So he has canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers, get it, the devil who accuses you by the law, the powers and principalities, all of those satraps and administrators, they have no means to accuse you anymore. They are disarmed. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross, just like Daniel triumphed over them in the lion's den, right? Therefore, do not let anyone judge you in what you eat or drink, or regard to a religious festival. It'll have to do with your God. New moon celebration or Sabbath day, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Jesus paid the law. Jesus overcame death. You're counted in him. The law has been paid. The decree has been fulfilled. You have been subjected to the accusations, and the accusations cannot stand simply because they cannot stand against Jesus any more than they could. The lion's mouths could stand against Daniel. Do you see the prophecy of Jesus in Daniel's story here? How many of you see it? Can you see the prophecy of the resurrection in Daniel's story here? Because Daniel came up alive out of the lion's den when he should have been dead. Being thrown in that lion's den was being cast into death, right? But death can't hold an innocent man. But Well, how many of you see that the comparison is a real one? That this doesn't just have to do with Daniel. It has to do with Jesus. And by virtue of it having to do with Jesus, it has to do with you. Do you understand now what it really means that the devil is a roaring and ravening lion seeking whom he may devour? He is the accuser of the brethren, his mouth. Get it? He makes great claims and haughty things. The mouth of a lion. It says of the Antichrist that he will have the mouth of a lion. What do you think? Questions or comments, please feel free.